Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Orna Brokar, the founder and lead developer of ChirpStack, the open-source LoRaWAN network server used in deployments around the world. Since launching ChirpStack in 2015, Orna has played a foundational role in the LoRaWAN ecosystem. His work has made it possible for organizations, from conservation groups in Africa to enterprise IoT teams in Europe and beyond, to run LoRaWAN networks without depending on proprietary systems or commercial lock-in. With over 2 million downloads, ChirpStack is one of the most widely used LoRaWAN servers globally. In today's episode, we talk through some of the most common pain points new users face, what's coming next for ChirpStack, including a powerful new relay-based gateway mesh, and how Orna balances the demands of running a globally used open source project while staying commercially sustainable. Whether you're deploying thousands of sensors or just spinning up your first Raspberry Pi gateway, this conversation will help you understand where ChirpStack fits in the business of LoRaWAN and where it's headed next. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation's IoT Working Group. Helium offers global LoRaWAN coverage that you can use exclusively or roam onto. If you'd like to see if Helium coverage exists near you, check out the links in the show notes. To get started using Helium today, and yes, it's on a ChirpStack LNS, you can sign up for a console account with Medeo Scientific at console.medeoscientific.com. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Orna Brokar. Orna, thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm super excited to have you here.
Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, you've an integral part of the entire LoRaWAN system, so it's really an honor to have you on. I think we would start maybe with folks who are really familiar with ChirpStack. I go through the forums. I use it for Medeo Scientific, so it's certainly semi-familiar for me. What are the biggest challenges that people have with it, maybe when they're starting, or maybe what are the things you see all the time that people are always asking questions about?
Yeah, I think the great thing about LoRaWAN, it's very open, it's very flexible. And I think also that's where the main challenge is. ChirpStack is a solution that people commonly self-host, giving them the freedom to set it up the way they want. And I think with that, it's also where the main challenge is. People are using different types of hardware. They're using it on many different systems. And with ChirpStack, you need to know a bit about LoRa, LoRaWAN, how to set up the gateway, how to set up a server, the network architecture. And I think that especially users that think, hey, LoRa, it's a cool technology, but they don't have the background in setting up a Linux server or setting up firewall rules. That's where usually beginning users are struggling with to get the whole setup up and running. So what you typically see on the forum is that people say, hey, I bought this gateway. I think I set up ChirpStack correctly on the server, but I don't see any data. Or, hey, my gateway is connected. I try to connect the device, but it doesn't work. And yeah, usually on the forum, myself or other people from the community try to reach out, helping them with, okay, have you tried debugging? That's the gateway, for example, is actually connected to the network server. Do you see any traffic at these points? And well, try to narrow down where the issue might come from.
Yeah, it's always tough. It's like, it doesn't work. And you're like, well, what doesn't work? And what? let's follow that signal chain and figure it out. But it is, I mean, that's a cool thing about LoRaWAN is that it's both open and also technical. So you can be really curious and learn a bunch about it. And there are very few bars to you learning stuff. Okay, so the problem a lot of the times with open businesses is they don't make any money because it's open. You're just giving the thing away. How does your business work, right? You're kind of at the heart of this business, the LoRaWAN piece. What do people hire you for?
In summary, it works out really well. ChirpStack is a project that I started late 2015. Initially, it was kind of a side project besides contracting work that I was doing at that time. In 2016, it was still something I was doing on the side. But already 2017, it started becoming a full-time business. Initially, I've been working together with Cable Labs. They're a research development organization in the US. They have been contributing a lot to ChirpStack. The ChirpStack project got funding from the SIDN fund, which is a fund in the Netherlands for projects that strengthen the internet. And these two things have been giving a huge kickstart to the project since then. And that was around the time that people were still doing proof of concepts. Companies were kind of looking at LoRaWAN, but there were not really budgets to do anything. But these two collaborations and fundings have been giving quite a kickstart to the project. After that, slowly companies started investing in LoRaWAN. They started looking into what ChirpStack could do for them. I started doing some consultancy work for some companies. Some companies have been contributing financially to implementing features. That's how it has been going until now. Mostly, like, my week is filled with consultancy work that I do for companies. And part of the week, I just have my own kind of backlog of items that I want to work on. Besides that, there are also companies supporting the projects through GitHub sponsors. And this whole combination of consultancy, doing work contracted by companies and sponsors.
Yeah, we're a little sponsor. I mean, it's $5 a month. It's not much. But I was like, I remember when I saw it, I was like, this is super cool. I'd like to contribute a little bit to it. So it's always been, it's neat that you allow that. Okay, so very straightforward kind of business piece. You figure this thing out, you founded it, you put it on the internet, and people are like, hey, it is big and complicated, I'll hire you to help me, or I'll hire you to develop this specific thing around it. It seems like it's everywhere. I don't know if you have any insight into this, but what do you think the penetration of ChirpStack is across LoRaWAN? Like, what percentage of LNSs are ChirpStacks?
Yeah, that's a very hard question to answer, since many people are using ChirpStack and only a small percentage comes back to me with questions or with consultancy questions. What I can see is that ChirpStack version 3 has been downloaded over 1 million times.
Holy smokes.
ChirpStack version 4 as well. So these two versions together, and version 4 is the latest version. These two versions, like, in total, have just been downloaded more than 2 million times. It doesn't include, of course, people that re-download it, or if you're running it on Kubernetes and one of the nodes goes down or you do an update. So sure, it's not equal to the number of users, but it does, well, reflect that people are using ChirpStack a lot.
Oh, that's interesting. It's interesting that there's no way, I mean, for me as kind of a semi non-technical person, that there's no way for one person to see, like, okay, there are currently, you know, 422,917 active downloads. Like, nope, that's just, it's out there and it's working. Okay. You said that most of the week you work consulting for other folks, and then part of the week you work on the backlog. What's kind of next for you in ChirpStack? What are you looking at, and what can the rest of us look forward to?
One of the new things that, and actually this is something I work together with REC and SmartParks, is the Gateway Mesh. It's a solution especially more for rural areas to extend LoRaWAN offers. The LoRa Alliance has a relay specification, but in some areas it doesn't work well. It requires you to update the firmware of the devices to be compatible with this relay specification. And, well, in some cases, that's just not possible. So together with REC and SmartParks, we've been developing what's called the Gateway Mesh as well, that has been open source. And one of the new things that has been added recently, and that's, like, in terms of weeks ago, is a way. So just to explain a little bit how this works, you have relay gateways that can be solar powered and just running without any internet connection, so they're not accessible at all. One of the things I've been building is a way to send commands to these gateways over proprietary LoRaWAN messages. So I'm using the proprietary message type for that, so that doesn't interfere with the other LoRaWAN messages. And yeah, this basically gives a whole framework where you can assign commands or configure commands on these relay gateways. And then with the right payload, it will be delivered at these relay gateways, and that command that you configured can be executed. So this provides, like, a framework for reconfiguration. I wouldn't say it's suitable for updates, since, well, you have to deal with the constraints of what you can send using LoRaWAN, but it would help you, for example, to read out settings or change settings on the gateway. There is also an event framework that I created that can, for example, help to read out the charts of the battery, how well the solar panel is functioning, how much energy it's providing to the battery, et cetera. So this is one of the new things I've been recently working on, and that's still something that we are still step-by-step are improving.
So it's really like a kind of gateway as a device. If I'm thinking of this, like a normal LoRaWAN sensor will send you, hey, here's my battery voltage, here's what I'm sensing, you know, solar panel, whatever. And this is just, it sounds like from my perspective, that it's the gateway can kind of do two things. Is one is it can receive signals and then send them on to you. And then the other thing is it can say, like, hey, I've got this problem, or you can reconfigure me in that way, just like a normal device.
It's not really like, yeah, it's part of a kind of device. So on each of these relay gateways, there is a small service running software stack to run this gateway mesh. So the cool thing about this is the devices, they don't know that they're running within a mesh network. At the end of the chain, the network server, it gets some additional metadata. But when we developed the gateway mesh, there were zero changes required at the TurpSec side to make this work. So in the end, the network server just gets the LoRaWAN payload. And this gateway mesh encapsulates the uplink frames. And at the end of the chains, it decapsulates this wrapper and just exposes it as a normal. So yeah, there are a couple of things that you, I think, over time of the lifetime of a relay gateway might want to change. So for example, one of the configurations, like the maximum hops that a relay would accept. So you can say, okay, if it passes more than 3 hops, just drop it and don't retransmit it. If you find out, well, actually we need more hops or we need less, then this framework could be used to change this hop count setting.
Okay.
But this goes really deep into the gateway mesh. But yeah, it provides a framework for just configuration of these relay gateways.
Right. And I mean, you're basically just keeping up with the hardware and firmware of LoRa, saying, hey, you guys are using this stuff. I want to make sure that the tool that I've built is applicable to all this stuff and isn't stuck in 2020 or 2022, the last time there was an update. Okay. Very cool. If someone wants to get started with ChirpStack, you started the whole thing. You've seen a bunch of people start on it. What would you say are the best ways to begin beyond just kind of buying a gateway and fiddling around?
Yeah, so one of the easiest thing I would say is buy one of these Raspberry Pi kits. So there are different vendors that sell them, Rack, Dragino, Seed. There are a couple of more. So it's basically a Raspberry Pi with a shield with the LoRa concentrator on it.
Yep.
On the ChirpStack website, you will find the ChirpStack Gateway OS. I support different Raspberry Pi versions. You download the full image, you put it on the SD card, you put it in. As soon as you turn on the Raspberry Pi, it starts as an access point, so you can directly connect from your computer to it. It comes with ChirpStack pre-configured. The only thing you need to do is go to the concentrator setting, select which shield you're using. It will automatically configure the pin settings, etc. correctly. It will set the region, and you should be ready to just use ChirpStack from that Raspberry Pi. I think that's a great start, since you don't have to fiddle with VMs, with network access. And after that, once you are happy with that, you can move it to a VM and start scaling up. But I think it's a good first introduction into ChirpStack.
Got it. So basically, it addresses the very first question, which is like, what's the most common thing you get is the configuration piece. And you must have thought to yourself, like, okay, I got to figure this out where I make it really easy to onboard people.
Yeah, and actually, it was really in the beginning, it was a lot of people were buying Raspberry Pis to get started.
Yeah, that's how I got started.
But you need to figure out what's the pin mapping, where is the reset pin, if the concentrator module has the GNSS module. Usually, it conflicts with where the Bluetooth module is mapped on the Raspberry Pi. Well, you need to make a few settings on the Raspberry Pi OS to get this work. And with the Gateway OS, it's basically, well, we try to minimize the number of steps that are needed to get this working.
Now, is that something I can use on a server that's not going to be a gateway as well? Is there kind of a pretty easy thing for that? So I'm like, oh, I'll set up a little server in my house and then I'll throw these gateways around the neighborhood or the area. Can I do the same thing? Or is this really focused on, hey, kind of one gateway is the server, like the whole thing's in one physical package? Or am I misunderstanding?
No, it's more, so I think technically you could take one Raspberry Pi as a server and connect other gateways to it. But as it's designed now, it's more like, yeah, just a gateway plus the network server embedded. There's also support for some compute module 4 based gateways, so that you would run the whole stack just on that single box, including the concentrator module. And then you could add more like simpler gateways to it, just forwarding the data. But it's not really intended to run on the server. It's really like more on ARM and MIPS-based devices.
Okay. Super, super cool. I've got a ton more questions for you on Helium, but I know Helium was a big part of the kind of explosive growth of LoRaWAN and introducing a bunch of new people to it. And certainly the ChirpStack tech gets used in Helium all the time. Like I said, I'm using it, but I don't want to waste a ton of your time or take up a ton of your time. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're super busy with ChirpStack, so thanks for making the time to talk to us today.
Yeah, thanks again for the invite.
Heck yeah.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you. So whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas. And ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show. That's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.